Hey, Brew Crew, $20 dipshit patron here from Norway, who is taking all your money. The Norwegian USA Postal Offices, thank you for the money, Jason. On a different note, what are your guys' thoughts on marijuana enthusiasts? I really like the newer ones, although the older samples are fairly pleasing. Jason, oh jolly Jason, my fair Jason, written by Altered Ego. Tamio whispered in his ear, can't you see that Jason is here?
Is this slash fan fiction this guy wrote me?
Are you interrupting right now? You let me finish this story. I'm reading this in my like story time voice.
You're right. I'm the one messing this up. Agreed. I made it weird.
I agree. Jason. Oh, jolly Jason. My fair Jason. Written by Altered Ego. Tamio whispered in his ear, can't you see that Jason is here? The leaves all blossoming like his hair. Oh, jolly Jason, are you really there? His mouth so dry it almost fell. Opened, you ask? Why, yes, I tell. If it were that he wouldn't be so gallant, people might ask, why is he so transgallant? This few lines is in honor of you, who off the path of the real true. Now, if I may ask, please be seated and enjoy the ride of Wilderness Tide. And Corbin and DJ, you two are also fine human beings. Now, before you start talking shit about my poem, Jason, it literally took me 3 minutes. So shut the fuck up. Best regards, Jonas Kjær.
I'm gonna say Jonas Kjært. I'm gonna say Jonas Kjært.
Okay, he did say try to pronounce that, DJ. Yeah. Sit from my intergalactic iPhone station while sipping.
No. It says iProne.
Oh, okay. Yeah, you're right. Sip from my intergalactic iProne station while sipping to my favorite wine, W-H-I-N-E. Well, that was a poem, Jason. I'd like your reaction to that poem that was written for you.
How do you pronounce that guy's name?
I believe it to be Jonas K.J. Arrett. DJ has something else.
Probably Jonas Kjært?
Yeah, it's got to be Jonas. The J is probably not a hard J sound.
If I go missing, you will find my femur under Jonas Kjært's house in Norway. He's going to take a souvenir back with him.
Wow, it's not going to be under his house. It's got to be on a mantle or like a shrine, right? In the closet.
That was extra special. I need a drink. That was a hell of a cold open, my God.
You hear that, Sander? I know you're mad you're not mentioned on the podcast more often, but...
Yeah, you go out creep, Sander. What are you going to do now?
Yeah, you did get out creep there pretty hard. Although, to be fair, it seems like they both live on the same continent, so maybe they can, you know, get together and battle it out, or take it up a notch. Team up.
They could interact in our Discord server where Sander is an admin.
He's not an admin, he's a mod. Don't give him credit where it's not...
What is the difference? Shut up. You're just splitting hairs.
It's sure. I don't know the difference.
Anyway, he's got mod powers at patreon.com/brainstormbrewery, where he's a patron and poet laureate of Norway. Jonas Kjært also is a member. They give us money and they have access to the Discord server where... The memes have gotten real dank lately. I'm really impressed, actually.
The memes are actually out of control.
They're really good, yeah.
I say this, and I mean, like, I think the memes are becoming sentient at this point.
The memes
More or less sentient than our Corbin bot.
The Corbin bot was complaining about a hangover in the Discord.
So it was a while. It was just people filleting us because
they love
our podcast.
Corbin bot will drink WD-40, but real Corbin won't.
Or spray it on his chair. Yeah, it started with like a bunch of like dick writing from our fans, but like the Discord kind of has its own rhythm now. I'm really like, yeah. It's got its own memes and like it's gotten a lot of fun. So for as little as $1 a month, which is crazy low for access to the Discord server, which is basically like another episode of the podcast every week. you could have access. And we scrub out some of the pores every once in a while. If you bought in once and then you haven't been paying your $1, we'll kick your ass out. If you think a dollar is too little to pay for your favorite podcast, you can pay more at various intervals and you will get rewards. Even if you live in Norway, we will send you one of these handsome drinking glasses if you pay us $20 a month.
That was what you're saying is getting in the Discord is as much value as buying bears.
Don't buy bears. So,
My bad.
So, yeah, we think the Discord is worth it. And if you only give us a dollar, that's super cool. Thank you so much for supporting this podcast. We did it for free for 200 episodes and found that...
I mean, we're still doing it for free.
Well, we were paying for stuff out of pocket, which was dumb. You shouldn't do that. So now we're going to waste your money frivolously. We used some of your money to buy squatty potties for some of our listeners. So I think, is our affiliate link still going?
Yeah, I believe I'm going to check real quick, actually. I believe it should be down, but let's see.
You may have missed
back to buy a squatty potty, but not yet.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You may be...
it says applying coupon code.
Cool. So maybe you can still go to squattypotty.com/BSB and buy some of their fine products.
This
is now.
Well, does our link work?
Oh yeah, I just said so.
Okay.
Now
seems like it does.
Now.
Yeah. Now go buy them.
Now go buy a squatty. Or
I think. Yeah. Real talk, you should have already bought the squatty potties. Actually, that was so much fun. We'll see how it goes. I'm already on to the next one. I'm trying to figure out who we can get to sponsor us next. I believe I...
My mattress sucks. Can you get Purple Mattresses to sponsor Purple us mattress. Just so they send us a free mattress? That would be awesome.
I got into a debate on the internet with people over what is the better mediocre Mexican food restaurant, Qdoba or Chipotle.
And the answer, of course, is Pancheros, where they make your tortilla fresh and then use that little plastic wand to mix it up. And then they close a location near me every, 6 months, so I got to drive farther.
Fajita Grill is better than either of those.
Everyone has their own place they like. I think it's a dumb argument, unless one of them wants to sponsor me, in which case there will be an objective right answer. So, just throwing that out there.
We're
you should make them fight it out on Twitter. You should be like, whoever gives us money first.
I did. Well, I didn't do it quite that. I was like, please sponsor me, and I'll say you're the best.
I mean, isn't Paulo sponsored by Olive Garden or some shit?
I think he was for a hot minute. I don't know if he is anymore. You're right. I forgot about that, though. It's pretty
We're on a family podcast, so I don't think we could be sponsored by Olive Garden because we are not for your family. Don't let your kids hear our podcast.
Yeah, listen to this podcast. Maybe I'll give a run to Buffalo Wild Wings again and see what happens. Anyways, it's been a lot of fun, and now that we had this success with Squatty Potty, chasing down meme corporate sponsorships is my new goal in life.
Yeah, it was kind of fun.
We'll see if it happens more. We're still in contact with Squatty Potty. We actually need to follow up now that the first, the campaign is over and see if they want to re-up. I can't imagine that they would just because I would guess that there's diminishing returns on how many people buy Squatty Potty when you advertise in a particular medium, but who knows?
You underestimate the diarrhea level of our listeners.
If they had diarrhea, they wouldn't need a squatty potty.
No one with diarrhea has ever been like,
I need my feet elevated. They're just like, ugh!
That's a fair point. Speaking of, things that give you diarrhea or something, I went to the Pro Tour, and from what I understand, Nexus of Fate was the best card in all three formats, including Beta Draft. Isn't that what you guys heard?
Yep.
Yeah,
I heard
sure.
that Nexus of Fate is a president that is even more dangerous than...
than cats?
Than the cat president.
Yeah. All right, we'll talk about this. We're not going to spend terribly long on it because...
I thought we just talked about it.
Yep. Yeah, I mean, so Nexus of Fate was in a deck that seemed like the breakout deck of the tournament in Standard. Specifically, I mean, Dave Williams played it, Raph Levy played it, and Mark Herberholtz helped them design it. It was extremely good And it was extremely good specifically against the field of red black aggro and mono green stompy. It fogs you for the first couple turns, then it gets planeswalkers down, you untap two lands with Teferi, you fog, then you take turns with Nexus of Fate, you use Azkanta to find more Nexus of Fate, etc., etc. Eventually you have all the planeswalkers and you win. It interestingly wasn't even the only deck to break out at the Pro Tour. The mono blue Aetherflux Reservoir Storm deck did pretty well also. But
Standard?
Yeah.
What are you using for cantrips in Standard?
It just Paradoxical Outcome is basically what it is, but
and Revoke, what's it? The blue draw three.
Yeah,
it's that blue, one. It's blue. Begins with an R.
Paradoxical Outcome is a very good card.
Yes, it
is. It's vintage playable. So
reverse engineer is what.
Yes,
was thinking of,
yes,
by
reverse
the way.
Engineer.
Yeah, it's a cool deck, but they cut some of the reverse engineers a lot. Honestly. It's really interesting because there were two different versions of the deck. There was the combo version that was sometimes down to one Aetherflux Reservoir because you just go find it with Inventor's Fair or whatever.
Wow.
But then some of the people playing it literally just cut all of the Aetherflux Reservoir and just killed people with Karns and tokens from Psy. Like, really, Psy was the breakout card. Psy Master Thopterus, a 3-drop.
Psy Master Thopterus is a lot of fun.
Yeah, and you know what?
That makes your Paradoxical Outcomes twice as good.
It was on camera in the finals of the Pro Tour in Modern at a sideboard of the KCI deck, and Ben Stark almost, very nearly, won a game through Leyline of the Void by just making enough Thopters to win with Psy. He didn't, but it was very close. So card is extremely good in a lot of formats.
I like Psy a lot. As long as Skullclamp exists, stuff that does what Psy does is going to be good.
So anyways, it was really interesting. They had two breakout decks. So, talking about Nexus Fate, though. It's the buy box promo. We talked about that before. I've gone on record saying that I don't like the precedent they've set with this and that it could be dangerous. And they went ahead and made one that was too good. The only thing here worth noting is that it is hard. We talk about Pro Tour spikes all the time. It is hard to imagine a deck looking better than that Fog deck did last weekend to a bigger audience. 30,000 people were watching on Sunday simultaneously. It is hard to imagine a card getting more publicity and more hype than this Pro Tour. We saw Vengevines selling at literally $70 a piece because... like 10 people in the room were playing Vengevine Zex, which, by the way, are sweet. And one of those missed a winning in for top 8 as well. But we saw Vengevine's going for $70. Nexus of Fate, this card that apparently, allegedly, according to people, has so few numbers out there, so due to scarcity, that it's going to be, you know, $150. It's just this perfect storm and it's a disaster, blah, blah, blah. It never even got more expensive. And maybe for a day, the week before the Pro Tour. Not because I was following this over the weekend. Not once during the Pro Tour did the market price of Nexus of Fate ever pass the market price of Nicol Bolas, a card that was not even played. So I just, like I said, I'm on board with the idea that it's a dangerous precedent. And if it becomes the best deck in the format, this might change, but it's hard to make the argument that it's going to completely ruin Standard when it's not more expensive than a Mythic out of the same set that no one was playing. And it's $30. Like, Chandra was $40 for 6 months, you know. We're not even talking about Jace, Vren's Prodigy, yeah, being $100. We're not even talking about historically expensive cards. I'm just talking about from its own Standard. It's you know, we'll see where things go from here, and it is uncharted territory. We don't know, but if the Pro Tour is anything to go by, yeah, be upset about it. And you know, I'm not going to say anyone shouldn't be upset about it, but let's try to keep things in perspective. Where it's not even Bonfire of the Damned level. This is literally not even the most expensive card in the set. a card that wasn't played cost.
But it's not in the set, Corbin. It's on the standard reserve list.
Yes, yeah, standard reserve list. Yeah, and if
even though it could be the Guilds of Ravnica buy a box promo,
and it's if on Wizards
standard reserve list,
and if Wizards prints any more of them, people are going to sue them for promising estoppel. I saw that argument. Yeah, it's just I just want people to keep things in perspective, and I know that's not what the Magic community does, but I mean, I'm not going to say I'm not biased in that it was frustrating to have a really cool weekend and a really cool Pro Tour. Just all they want to do is talk about a $30 card because that's ruining Magic today. Like, come on. Just once keep things in perspective. So, anyways, that's my take on Nexus of Fate. I don't know if that makes half the internet hate me or what, but I don't like the buy box. I don't think the buy box promo should be standard playable, etc. I don't like the precedent, but it's not that, just judging by the numbers, it's not that bad.
If Psy Master Thopterist had been the buy box promo instead, people would have still bitched, just like they did about Firesong and Sunspeaker. So if they're going to continue to do the buy box promo, just make it EDH jank. Just do whatever.
Well, and the thing is, like you said, it's not that the argument is unreasonable. I don't like this extra rarity or whatever it is either. And we've talked about it in the past with Planeswalker decks. And those have had a couple cards come close to hitting in standard. And it's not that I like it, but at the same time, you got to look at the positives of it. And obviously no one on the internet wants to do that. So the downside here is if you want to play a deck in standard,
you can't drive viewers to your YouTube channel by looking at the positives. Nobody wants that. They want you to bitch, and they want you to bring the argument up every couple weeks.
Yeah, it's just so the thing is, if the downside here is, and it's like I said, it is hard to imagine a scenario in which a card is more likely to spike than what occurred with it last weekend. And the highest it ever touched for a minute on like Wednesday before the Pro Tour was like $39-$40. So, if that's the downside, right? This is a worst case scenario, or at the very least a 99% worst case scenario. Maybe there's 1% where it becomes the only playable deck in standard or whatever, right? But this is theoretically about as bad as it gets, and you have a $30 card. Is that not worth the fact that not only do players who buy boxes get free $30 handed to them, but it's really good for stores? You know, they've done lots of promos for sets before, and if those worked, they'd probably still do them. They're not doing them. They're doing this instead. So I would certainly assume, and I'm not saying Wizards always, they're not, you know, they don't always make the perfect decisions, but they are trying to help local game stores by doing this. And they're trying different things to try to help. And it gets people into the store to buy boxes. It convinces people to buy boxes instead of, you know, singles, which is good for the local gaming store. It convinces... It gets people into the local gaming store instead of Walmart or buying the $80 boxes online off eBay or whatever. There's a lot of upside that is just not even getting mentioned in the conversation about the downside of having a $30 card.
Actually, I think you'll find I mentioned all of those things, you know, when we talked about it initially, and then you were kind of like, but the president's dangerous. So support your LGS. I mean, what else do I got to say? Support your LGS.
The premise of the president.
My entire point is that it can be both. So,
but Jason loves his straw man.
Well, but in this case,
that's not a straw man argument at all.
Yeah, I don't think
that's just me making.
You went after the one guy
for...
who misspelled the word precedent, and that's your entire argument.
No, that's the catchphrase for the argument. The argument isn't that guy is dumb. He is, but not dumb enough that I remember who it was. But the point is that. It's not impossible to get these. People are acting like, well, they're impossible.
Right.
Now that it's really easy to get them. You're guaranteed to get them.
For now, yeah.
If you buy a $40 booster box from your LGS.
Like, I think both can be true. I think it's a bad precedent, and that's how you get... But it's... This
Maybe,
is
but
sort
people
of the worst
said
case.
The same thing about Firesong and Sunspeaker. It's annoying that they were... Their, like, worst-case scenario happened this soon, but this...
Like I said, it comes down to what the worst case scenario looks like, though. And in my mind,
and it doesn't look worse than Jace Rinse
right,
Prodigy.
Right. In my mind, the worst case. The worst case scenario looked a lot worse than this. the fact that it is not there means that somewhere along the line, wherever you want to look at it, the economics of this, the worst case scenario is not that bad. It's one thing if the card's $75, right? It's not. It's not more expensive than other mythics and standard. So the worst case scenario did not turn out to be as bad as people predicted.
It did ruin Twitter for a good 48 hours for me.
It's not even over. It's the sad part.
That was my worst case scenario, is that I can't get on Twitter without seeing dipshittery, so.
My worst case scenario is this conversation's still going.
Yeah. Anyways, let's move on. Let's break.
Oh, course. I'm sorry. This is almost as bad as the one time we had to spend more than 12 minutes on a set review on the set review episode.
Hey, by the way, did you guys
set reviews too?
Yeah, but I didn't like shit on our guests when they were on our podcast.
Hey, did any of us pick Insidious Dreams as a pick on this podcast, or did I just write about it in my preview article? Because that card
Insidious
got bought out.
Dreams.
Do you know what it does?
I do. It's 4 mana, black, instant, discarding a number of cards, vampiric tutor for each one.
Yep.
Oh.
Specifically, it's very good with Entreat the Dead.
Oh, jeez.
You'd know that if you read my preview article about...
Yeah, why would I read your preview article, ever?
Yeah, you're right.
Yeah, because Corbin's preview got spoiled, so you don't need to read his preview article.
Yeah, exactly. I already knew what the card did.
I don't remember if I've been on the... I don't remember when that happened. Everything is a blur since I've been working a million hours in the past week and a half, but... Yeah, my preview card was Entreat the Dead. So all those weeks where DJ was like, there's going to be Black Miracle, there's going to be Black Miracle. And I just had to be like, well, there could be. it was pretty fun.
So Insidious Dreams, which is just as good with Living Dead and Endless Ranks of the Dead and Living Death.
No, it's not.
How is it good now? With Endless Ranks of the Dead?
Because you get all the creatures out of the graveyards.
That's not what Endless Ranks of the Dead does.
Endless Ranks of the Dead is the Liliana ultimate for zombies.
Yeah.
Yeah, you get all the creatures out of the graveyards.
No, not that.
Read that card again.
Oh, what am I thinking? Rise of the Dark Realms.
You were thinking Rise of the Dark Realms, yeah. No, the thing is, though, I mean, yes, it is good with those cards. Those cards cost more mana than Entreat the Dead costs when you miracle it.
That is funny that I named a Liliana Ultimate, and there are two different Liliana
Ultimates. Yeah, I was like, yeah, the Liliana Ultimate, you idiot.
I was actually pretty proud of myself for digging this one up as a card that would work with Entreat the Dead. I did not realize it was going to get bought out. I guess it makes sense. It's from Torment.
Do you want to know why I know what that card does?
Insidious Dead? Because you read my article?
No, it's a one of in the John Avon Vintage Artist Constructed deck.
Oh, I see. I learned about artists constructed recently.
Because you were hanging out with Mike?
Yeah. I ran into him at the GP and they were explaining it to me. It's really cool. It's a format where it's vintage or whatever, but all your cards have to be from the same artist.
All 75, including basic lands, 75 have to be drawn by the same artist.
And it was really cool because people had would have like one... a different land art for each land, you know, but all done by the same artist. It was really neat.
Yeah, like one of
Who's the best artist?
I have no idea what the format's like. I just think the concept is cool.
Wayne Reynolds' Goblin deck is really strong because he did every Goblin in Lorwyn plus a few others.
That'd be pretty good. I bet Raymond Swanland would be good.
I don't think he's done enough lands.
Oh, that's a pain in the ass.
Yeah, so there's certain, like, Eric Deschamps has done, like, every Planeswalker ever, but I think his only basic land is the Dragon's Maze promo Plains. So you can do, like, a mono-white Elspeth deck with, like there's a Gideon and, like, an Elspeth Sun's Champion, and you get Merit Crusader, I think, and a couple other cards, but, Therese Nielsen's deck is really good.
I don't have enough money for all the Guru lands, though.
Well, you can, there's other, lands you can use with her, though.
Yeah, if you want to be a poor, sure.
Yeah. Rebecca Guay's deck is funny because she did Enchanted Evening and then she did like a one side enchantment board wipe, so you just nuke their permanence.
Cleansing Meditation?
I think so. It's like if you have any untapped or if you have no untapped lands, you only nuke their enchantments.
Oh, that sounds like a card from specifically Prophecy.
Interesting.
I
believe it's pronounced Rebecca Gay.
I've been told both ways. I used to pronounce it Guay.
What are you, psych?
I know. I used to pronounce it Guay, and then somebody got really mad at me and told me.
And they were like, "No Guay, man, no Guay."
And then I pronounced it Rebecca Gay for forever, and corrected other people. And then I said it one time, and then somebody got really mad at me for saying it that way, so I have no fucking clue.
What do you mean, are you psych? What was that comment, Jason? Yeah.
Don't you watch the television program Psych on the USA Network?
I actually love that show, but I'm trying to figure out what the
whenever anybody
is.
Says that he pronounced something wrong, he says, I've heard it both ways.
Oh.
He says that once per episode, roughly. Hmm.
That show is actually... Marianne watched that show, and for a while I thought it was kind of dumb. But
it is kind of dumb.
It, yeah, well, it is. I mean, it is, but the more I watch
like
it, it's
being,
actually really
cool. Being like the TV 14 network television tier...
Yeah.
It's like Monk. It's like, all right, I'll watch this.
Yeah, but
if I'm in a hotel, I will watch the shit out of some Psych.
Yeah, but to me, like, and I watched a little Monk. Monk's obviously like, if you like, I don't remember the actor's name, but that's the thing, right? And the show's reasonable.
Oh yeah, you're referring to Ted Levine, who played Buffalo Bill in Silence of the Lambs. Yeah, definitely. If you're a fan of Ted Levine,
would you fuck me?
I don't know. I don't see. I'd
fuck me. About, man.
You never saw Silence of the Lambs?
Not in like 20 years. I don't remember.
I don't know, man. That was peak Jonathan Demme. That was 2 years before he won the Academy Award for Philadelphia.
Tony Shalhoub.
I knew who you were talking about. How do you...
I got there. I had to look it up, but I didn't remember.
I sentence you to watch every episode of Wings for not being able to come up with Tony Shalhoub's name.
Well, the thing is, that show
it's
was...
It's really
like...
weird that like the only two... personality traits that Jason shares with Sterling Archer are his alcoholism and ability to recall weird movie quotes.
Anyways, like, Monk was fine because if you liked Tony Shalhoub and the shtick, then it was fine. You know, the character. But if you didn't, or if you just were kind of like, it was whatever. But I really liked Psych because they do a lot of themed episodes and they were just very clever.
I like their Twin Peaks episode.
I haven't watched that. Anyway, so Insidious Dreams, by the way, it's the mid on it is $400 today as we're recording, but the market price is like $5. So it's sweet. It's a cool card. Got to plug my preview article.
It's still in that one weird LGS in your town that nobody goes to play Magic that has cards.
That is true because the market price is $5. The cheapest copies right now are $20. Obviously. I mean, it's probably ended up being like $10 to $12 or something.
I don't think it'll be $10.
It'll
end up $7.
You think so? It was not cheap before.
It was like $2 or $3 before.
Yeah.
We'll see. Regardless, it's a sweet one if you can find it cheap and you're into that deck.
Welcome to the Brainstorm Brewery segment where Corbin talks about a card after it goes up in price.
Nexus of Fate,
which is super useful. Hey guys, I got how many Nexus of Fate did you buy at $15? No, I just called it at $45. All right, super useful.
Did it. Speaking of, yeah, you should go buy Vengevine, everybody. Go buy Vengevine.
This is the podcast equivalent of a tweet.
It's so hard for me when I'm working a Pro Tour and I have so at this Pro Tour I archetyped every single deck in the entire tournament and I was kind of like the data guy for this one. You know, there was no Frank Carson. There was no Adam Staborski. I was the person in charge of naming all the decks. And
I hate that you're two heartbeats away from being the data guy. That scares me. Like, if you were the Secretary of State, I would be less scared.
Yeah. Well, then people are, like, asking about stuff. And it's like, now I can't act. It's fine if I know nothing. I can talk about what little I've heard. But when I actually know everything, I can't say anything because that would, you know, obviously be unethical. So it's kind of painful, you know, on like Thursday night of the Pro Tour when I'm looking at when I know exactly what the metagame percentages are for everything and people are like or whatever, you know, think X thing's going to be broken and like people are talking about Nexus of Fate or whatever. I'm like, I know there's only six people in this tournament playing this card. So anyways, it was interesting. All right, let's go ahead and break some bulk though.
Breaking bulk time. Breaking bulk time.
Oh, yeah, Breaking Bulk. There's so much good stuff.
It's a pick. Breaking Bulk. The end.
Ooh, is that the thing we still do on this podcast? I found this card in bulk in a collection I bought. It is from Judgment. It is a red uncommon.
And it has become more... Blitz.
Nope, it has become more relevant just very recently.
Not fire cat blitz.
And the man in the back said, everybody cats in a turn to a fire cat blitz. Nope, not fire cat blitz. Red, judgment, uncommon, enchantment.
I'm not going to pretend to know.
Is it the coin flippy one?
It is Planar Chaos, yeah. The coin flippy one. Zinder Split Eye of Wisdom / Okaun Eye of Chaos have made this card suddenly relevant. You can still get these in bulk. You can still find these for a nickel at your LGS. It is, at the beginning of your upkeep, flip a coin. If you lose the flip, sack Planar Chaos.
If you play this, you're a douchebag.
Hey, if you play Zinder Split and Okaun, you're a douchebag, but sometimes people gotta be douchebags. So, if you play a spell, you flip a coin. If you lose the flip, you counter the spell. That's really hilarious. I like it a lot. It gives you a lot of coin flip opportunities to draw some cards and double some power, I think. I don't really know what those two cards do. It's been a while since I played Battle Bond. So, get these out of bulk. These are retailing for like $1, $1.50. It's good. That's pretty good. A good thing. Like all those power flip poppers, Verdict and Squeeze Revenge and Game of Chaos, all that stuff went up.
Chance Encounter is like $8.
Yeah, it's Fiery really Gambit's dumb. Like $4. Chance Encounter's like $8.
What are these
10.
Cards? What is Chance Encounter?
All of them say coin or Chance Encounter's flip a coin. It's like the win condition one.
But you win the game. It's the Mortal Kombat / Biorhythm /
Epic Struggle. Yeah.
Yeah. For red, you got to win 10 coin.
What is this? Cetus Odyssey. Interesting. 10 or more luck counters on it. Okay, that's kind of cool. Are these related to like Buzzbark or whatever from Unstable?
I mean that might have played a role. I don't know.
Buzzbark rolls dice. He doesn't flip coins.
Oh, my okay, bad. So, whatever is in Unstable that does coins.
Nothing in Unstable does coins. It's all dice rolls.
Yeah, that goes all the way back to Unglued. I don't think I've ever seen a coin flip. No, what about Krark's other thumb?
That's what I was thinking of.
That's dice rolls.
Oh.
Krark's thumb is coin flips. Krark's other thumb is you can negate one of your dice rolls.
That's too bad. You would think if you could, it would be like two Krark's thumbs in the same deck. That'd be awesome.
Yeah, that's... Because, I mean... Won't lie, it's not like I know the cards in Unstable, but that is what I was.
But I mean, everything got buoyed a little bit. Like not Creepy Doll, but anything old, anything as old as like Cold Snap or older, like Carpus and Minotaur,
yeah.
Tide of War, Fiery Gambit, Risky Move, Impulsive Maneuvers, Popper's Verdict, Game of Chaos, Mog Assassin, Squeeze Revenge. All that stuff was buoyed by the whatever. Everyone was like, "Bah!" It was the kitty cats, right? Anything that's obvious to somebody that doesn't really speculate is going to move just because it's a kitty cat. The kitty cat deck got printed.
It was a deck that people wanted to play, though.
No, they wanted to build it. People built it and then played it once and then...
Sure.
So, but it was the thing is, it's obvious. I talk about the Keynesian beauty contest sometimes where you're not trying to pick the best answer. You're trying to pick the answer you think everyone else is going to pick. So something's obvious and attractive to people that kind of love weird, chaosy stuff. Nobody's still playing Zinder Split Oaken decks, right? But, you know, let's see how many Zinder Split decks are on EDH. 61 on EDH.
Right,
tracks.
But the people who build Zinder Split and Oaken decks aren't putting it on deck stats.
I don't even know if these
I mean, they, I would argue they're the only people that do that kind of thing. So, whatever. I mean, the next thing that's super obvious is like, oh, this is... Maybe Insidious Dreams and Graveyard stuff.
There are existing strategies out there that don't have commanders yet, and when that commander niche gets filled, it creates a sudden just the dam breaks and like instant demand. Like Walls is a commander tribe that people have been building forever, and they're like, "Oh, I'm playing Derevi Walls because there's no wall commander," and then suddenly we get a commander.
Yeah,
anyway. Kitty cats.
All right, I've got one for you guys. Scars of Mirrodin, uncommon artifact.
Throne of Geth because LSV.
Yeah, because of, no, it was yeah, was it LSV?
It was not LSV.
I thought it was Josh Etterlayton.
It was Josh Etterlayton.
Okay,
what he was doing with Throne of
wasn't it LSV that also played like the blue black shadow deck?
He played the deck. That is a Josh Etterlayton special though.
It's pretty smart. What you do is you set their Chalice of the Void at 1 to 2, so they can't play another Chalice of the Void. on great. X equals one.
Yeah, it's a legacy sideboard thing. For people who don't know, the Death Shadow deck in Legacy, to be honest, kind of broke it. Like, as much as you can possibly break Legacy, it kind of broke it. The Death Shadow, they're playing Snuff Outs. The big one that became a difference maker was Reanimate. They're playing a couple Reanimates in the deck. Sometimes you just reanimate a one, you know. You reanimate your Death Shadow or your Delvers. But sometimes you reanimate a Shriek Wraith, which not only takes five life away to power up your Death Shadow out of nowhere, but it gives you another three power Swamp Walker, which is pretty relevant in a format of Grixis.
Well, I mean, it reanimates their shit, too.
Yeah.
If they just, like, accidentally Faithless Looting away an Elesh Norn and a Grisso Brain and bringing one of them back, you're like, oh, I'll take the other.
Well, not even that. Like, I think one of the stories was playing against a Reanimator opponent, and they just went, draw to eight, discard, go, with the intent to reanimate on turn two. And instead of just, you know, the Death Shadow players reanimated their creature.
Which is pretty funny. Saucy.
Yeah, it's pretty funny. So, I mean, it was the team that worked on it, but this is essentially a Josh Utterladen special. But yeah, so Throne of Geth, it's 50 cents right now, but it's actually climbing because of this. So it wouldn't at all surprise me to see this hit a dollar or two. So, I mean, it's not
all
a pick of the week.
People buy in their legacy decks. Their sideboard tech for their legacy decks.
I mean,
but it doesn't matter. It could be on camera.
No, I know.
You could hold up a card on camera and be like, this card is dog shit. Don't ever play this, and this price will go up.
Well, yeah, and no, I mean, I think about it. There's a lot of people right now trying to play or trying to figure out what they're doing in Legacy, and this is pretty
clear. No, I know. I love every goddamn card that has Infect or Proliferate on it because it's so hard to reprint them.
Yeah, exactly. So, it was pretty cool. All right, DJ, you're up.
Mirrodin Uncommon Artifact. Original Mirrodin, not Scars. Original Mirrodin Uncommon Artifact. It has two reprints.
Ooh. Black Center Warhammer.
No.
That was a rare.
It's
no, it was not a rare in Mirrodin.
It was an uncommon originally, Corbin.
Oh, and then it became a rare?
Disgusting, yeah. The card was not even close to fair at that
when one. I started playing, it was a rare.
Yeah, well, in 10th edition, 10th edition limited, I won the sealed. Because I had Warhammer and I was putting on shit like Giant Cockroach because it didn't even matter.
There's an old story of a Mirrodin PTQ where it was a sealed PTQ and the only players who top 8ed every single one of them had one Spike Shot Goblin and one Loxodon Warhammer in their deck.
Spike Shot Goblin? Spike Shot Goblin was Scars.
No, there's the original Spike Shot. There's Spike Shot Elder in Scars. Spike Shot Goblin.
Spike Shot Goblin. Oh, yeah, yeah.
That's right.
Wow, that's brutal.
Anyway, Mirrodin Uncommon Artifact.
Uncommon Artifact from Mirrodin. Is it a mirror?
No. Mirrors are common.
Is it an artifact creature or an artifact?
Artifact non-creature.
Oh, this is so... There's so many cards in this.
I know.
Set.
It's like two-thirds of the set.
One of the reprints was in Plane Chase.
Plane.
That should narrow it down. Original Plane Chase. The other reprint was in Commander 2014.
Lightning Greaves.
Softball, no.
Yeah, I know.
Lightning Greaves wasn't in Plane Chase, actually.
Was it...
What, Sundroplet?
Genesis Chamber?
No, Sundroplet was an archenemy.
Sundroplet was Darksteel.
Genesis Chamber was in Darksteel.
Genesis Chamber was also in a Master set recently.
Battle Bonds.
Yeah, that. Dang it, I thought Sundroplet was a good guess, actually.
Is it...
It is an equipment.
Oh, it's an equipment.
It is commander playable, which is sort of implied, I guess. But
I mean, I'm out at this
point.
The equip cost is two. The cast cost is two. The equip cost is one.
Not the cloak.
Yes.
Mask of
something. It's not Mask of Riddles.
I can picture the art.
Ancestor's Mask or something, maybe?
Mask of Memory. No.
Mask of Memory. Yeah.
Whenever equipped creature deals combat damage to a player, you may draw two cards. If you do, discard one.
Yeah, I was picking these the other day. I almost got there.
It's like 35 cents market price, and I sell them on TCG Player for like 40 cents or so all day. Especially the Commander 2014 one, which is saucy. And it buys
plus
for like,
people have to buy $2 worth of stuff from you, so they got to buy other stuff.
Right.
Yeah.
Even if they buy four of these,
I mean, yeah. Usually, this is the throw-in, right? Usually, they're like, "Oh, I'll buy your Darksteel Forge or your Shockland, and also buy a Mask of Memory for my deck or whatever.
It is, but it is interesting. It's worth money because it doesn't seem like that strong of an effect.
Yeah, because you put it in the decks where you play it in like a red or black or green deck or whatever that doesn't have card draw. Or red or white, I guess, is the best way to put it, but yeah.
Yeah.
You put it in decks that don't...
Considering black and green are very good at card drawing.
Well, you play it in like a Voltron-y deck, and Voltron decks can have trouble drawing cards.
Yeah, I mean, it makes sense. It says draw two cards on it. That's powerful. Almost regardless of what the rest of the words on the card say.
Yeah, so you buy one of these out for dimes, sometimes 15 cents, and it's fine. It's a card that everyone leaves. Like, they'll pull all the artifact lands, pull all the whatevers, and then you get all the Mask of Memories.
They'll pull all the talismans and be like, this cycle's not complete. They had a chance to print a red-blue talisman in the artifact deck in Commander 2018. That was the least of their sins.
I've actually becoming kind of tilted by the lack of... I have multiple times been building a deck where I just want a freaking talisman, and then either they don't exist because it's an incomplete cycle... Or
this
like
is Dan Bach's Bet Noir.
Join Dan Bach's Crusade. He has like a vendetta for the, he has a vendetta for the Is It Border Post and the Is It Talisman and all those.
Interesting. Like it's just it's also,
he plays Joyra.
I'm building Nicol
Finish
Bolas.
Your cycles.
Yeah, I'm building Nicol Bolas Ravagers, first new commander deck I built in forever, and I was looking at the mana rocks I want, and I was like, man, I just want this card or whatever. And then I go to buy a Talisman of Indulgence and they're like $2. It's really annoying.
Why didn't you buy it from me, man?
You weren't TCG Direct. I know that. I was trying to get everything TCG Direct.
No, I'm TCG Indirect.
Yeah, well, that's helpful. I just like, you know, was just one night while I was on my work trip, I just went and pulled it all up on there. The one thing I did, because usually what I like to do, and I don't know, well, maybe this is actionable for people at home. When I'm buying cards like that, you know, when you're buying the 40, 50 cent, or sometimes 75 cent cards you need to build to round out a deck that exists, but they're just hard to dig up from either your store or your collection or whatever. I usually like to buy foils of them because typically it's like rather than pay 75 cents for this card that is just going to get thrown in the trash again when I'm done with it, you know, it's just going to get thrown, it's just going to get mixed into bulk, whatever. I'll spend $2 and buy a foil. But it's like the stupid talismans. It's like $2 for a regular copy, and then the foils are like $8, and it feels so bad.
Yeah, because they're like I have a foil Talisman of Dominance, like foil Cold Seal Heart, foil Felwar Stone's like $70.
Yeah,
it's great.
Well, I got blown.
Well, that
out.
Was only in one set, right? Eighth
edition.
Ninth. Or
no, it's ninth.
Ninth. All right.
I also got blown out just trying to buy Signets. It was ridiculous.
How do you not have these?
Listen. These are the hardest cards to find. That's why we do Breaking Bulk. It's not that I don't have them. It's that
Corbin doesn't buy enough collections to get them.
No, well, it's that when I buy a collection and I get them, I then buy list them out. It's not like I keep them. And at the store, we just have a box that I label Mana Fixing. I throw all these Signets and stuff in there for 50 cents, and we didn't have the one I needed. So it's like I could dig through all the cards at my house from collections and try to find one, or I can just spend a couple dollars online and buy one. I know it's like the least DJ thing ever. But
it is. I understand your logic, and I know a lot of people will be like, yeah, that makes sense, but that grinds my gears.
I mean, it is a pretty anti-DJ thing, but I just want all the cards to show up at my house in one or two packages and then put them in my deck, and it requires the least amount of work. Like, keep in mind, I'm the guy who hasn't re-sleeved a deck in ever.
All of the YouTube viewers, all this shit is set sorted behind me. All of it. Every single...
Oh, gosh, should I don't even want to show people my office. It's
look at this. No.
I've got, like...
No, no one cares. Oh, my God.
I've got, like, 35 rows here that are not at all sorted.
You can tell that it's a slow week here.
Anyways, let's move on, then. I'm going into the vault, everybody. We're doing it.
Oh, from the vault emails.
Jason, do the jingle.
From the vault. From the vault, we didn't read your email, it's Corbin's fault.
I can do that better. Let's do it again.
I don't remember. I think if I flagged these, that means that I read them already. Let's see here.
No, yeah, you're super organized. If I flagged them, it means I put them in a folder for 6 years. This was your only job.
Yeah, I know, right?
This was your only job on the podcast.
You should have already had emails open at the start because I sent you the poem.
No, I was thinking it was his only job 6 years ago, but yeah, that too.
Every time when we podcast, I open up four tabs: the spreadsheet for Pick of the Week, the BSB email, the docket, and the Patreon page. That's it.
Wow. Mister, I've been on this podcast for 40 episodes talking about how professional he is. That's good. We're real impressed, DJ.
I've been on more episodes than Corbin, and you know it.
That's a low bar, man. That's like saying you've been awake more than Ryan.
Wow, that was pretty savage, actually. All right. I'm going to read this email. Titled.
Eventually.
Titled. This is from January 26, 2014.
This email's older than my kid.
Forward, brainstorm Jason. Dear Jason Alt.
It's another love poem.
What do you think of trading for foil unhinged lands? Do you believe there are enough people who would want to, quote unquote, pimp out their decks, using the wrong there, by the way, of any kind with foil lands? P.S. Oh, God. P.S. I've tried to email Corbin. Could you have him send me a message?
It's a matter of life and death. Best. We are a blood type match. I need his bone marrow.
Best regards, Ryan Foz.
Oh, him. He still listens. It's fine. It's fine.
It's fine. Hey, I'm Ryan, we read your email, you idiot.
Wait, I'm going to look up the price of a foil unhinged land in 2014.
Well, it depends on the type.
I'm going to look at Forest.
Forest is like 40.
Now?
That's like 40.
What
to 50.
Were they in 2014?
They actually haven't moved.
Well, let's
in 4 years.
Hold up, let's find out. First
I don't
of all,
think they've moved.
First of all, I want Jason to answer his question like it's 2014. You have to sound more sober, though, but go ahead.
In the year 2014, I don't know that they're going to ever print another full art foil land again. There's really no indication that it'll ever happen again, so that kind of makes these unhinged lands kind of the best, right? Like, they got that John Avon art, it's full land foil. I don't think they would ever do another unset, because Mauro said on his Tumblr that they're not going to really... So I don't think there'll ever be a third unset, which means the unhinged will probably just hold value forever. So you'll have no competition, and I think the number of people that are going to want to, you know, pimp out their... I never understood pimp out, by the way. Is that because of Exhibit?
It's because of Pimp My Ride.
Because, like, if pimping your deck out means, like, you let someone fuck your deck for money, right? Like,
it's... Yeah, it comes from Pimp My Ride, I believe.
I get it. Yeah, that's not good. We shouldn't let Exhibit influence our culture any more than he already has.
Well, in 2014, that would have been a hot take.
Yeah. He was still on the air. Exhibit would have come to my house. Now he needs to borrow someone's ride to get here.
All right, so for reference.
Yo, dog, I didn't invest wisely. I heard you like Bitcoins. Yeah, but next time someone's like, answer this email like it's 2014. Buy Bitcoins. Sell in 2017 for 11,000. Email past me.
All right.
Tell
so
me not
in,
to
in
marry
January,
the woman I married.
In January of 2014, they were 40. The price of a foil forest, is the one I pulled up, was $40. Today, yeah. It is $60.
Wow, so you only would have made 50% over that interval.
Yeah.
You tell any Wall Street traders, like, look, here's a guaranteed 50% increase over 4 years, and I'd be like, ah, forget it. So.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah, they'll be like, that's nothing.
Disagree.
So, 50%
over 4 years? That's insane.
That's nothing. That's a mere 12.5% a year.
That's
barely
good.
The rate of inflation.
No, what?
Corbin,
inflation
Corbin,
has been like 2%?
Corbin, you're being baited.
Man, I was going along with it for the past. This is
so
man,
yeah.
This is like when
we,
it was
a good
me.
Thing that Corbin. It's a good thing that Corbin didn't read your email. Otherwise, you would have barely made any money. So, thanks for still listening to us 4 years later. Every week he's seething. He's like, "Oh yeah, you're reading another email from Sander Vanders."
The islands, by the way, this is the islands in 2014 were 70 foil. Today they're 77.
Yeah.
So yeah, this would not have worked out well. All right, I got one more here that I think we can do. Oh, this is an interesting one. Wait, what is this? Oh wait, this person. Oh my gosh. Okay.
This person's dead.
Share it with the class, Corbin.
All right, January 31st, 2014, because I'm working up from the bottom here. This one comes to us from Steve Chase, who has transcribed our set review for Born of the Gods.
Oh, this one.
This is very nice of this person.
I want that transcript, because can you just, like, control F Chromanticore?
He said, we asked about this before, and he, as Corbin said, there wasn't a Chromanticore part. Unless he lied.
I'm looking...
Corbin?
No, no, okay. Chromanticore, because I'm not going to read this whole thing, because, I mean, it's just...
Read the whole thing.
No, it's literally just him, like, saying what we said. I'm going to look through and see if there's anything good here. But, Chromanticore, $4. This isn't for casual players. This is for people with head trauma. Jason.
Okay, this, yeah, there it goes.
This art should be in crown.
Crayon.
Crayon. Jason, I can't say that word. Crayola. That was pretty good. That was, All right, so let's see here. Okay, look. Phoenix, God of Deception. Quote from Corbin, expensive in 5 years. Hey, what do you know? It's almost been 5 years.
Phoenix is $5 right now.
Well, no, it's not. It's $6.50.
That is expensive.
Well, it was. It's doubled since then.
Huzzah.
If you told any Wall Street trader that you could make 100% over 4 years.
That's barely 25% a year. That's barely the rate of inflation.
Here's a nice one. And this one is not attributed to anybody. Corsair of Kruphix. I think we all know that's a very good card. Been good in Commander, good in Modern, etc. Says, dependent on Maze's End deck, bulk. Whoops.
Who said that, Ryan?
It wasn't attributed. That definitely sounds like a Ryan thing, though. All right.
Listen, if you talk to... If you see Ryan at a GP, if you see Ryan Bouchard at a GP, ask him about Japanese guild gates. Just do it. Just try it. That's all I'm going to say.
Okay. Here we go. Faded Retribution. This, for people who don't know, is a 7-mana instant speed wrath. Destroy all creatures and planeswalkers if it's your turn, scry 2. 4 and 3 white.
Corbin, I think all of us knew what that card did.
Yeah, not all of our listeners, though. So.
All of them. Everybody. That card was a staple for the longest time.
Jason says to buy foils at $3 to $5 cash.
Oof.
Nice. What are foils now?
$1.
Yes!
Did it?
If you told any Wall Street trader that you could make negative 200%.
They would laugh at you.
Oh, man. To be fair, I thought that card was going to be good, too. I thought that whole cycle was going to be good. It was not.
People were playing fucking Rout in EDH, and they still are. Okay, whatever. Right. Let me look up the EDH rec data on Rout versus Faded Retribution.
All right, here's one. Jason says, buy or $2 foil pickup, plea for guidance. 6-drop sorcery to put 2 enchantments into your hand. And it's exactly $2 now. We called Spirit of the Labyrinth a $6 to $10 card.
Oh, Rout is in 10 times as many decks on EDH Rec as Faded Retribution. So it's not my fault everyone's a lunatic.
I agree.
They're both 7-mana instant speed rats.
Rout doesn't kill your own walkers.
Oh, that's why.
Well, all right. Spirit of the Labyrinth, we called a $6 to $10 card. Card's bulk. Whoops.
Well, it got reprinted.
No, it didn't.
No, it didn't.
Didn't it?
We thought this was going to be a Death and Taxes card. I mean, it's a 3-1 for 2. Each player can't draw more than one card each turn.
This card rips your dick off in cube.
Yeah, it's just good. It's just great in Commander, too. The issue is... They went and printed at some point later, they printed the Monarch, and you play Palace Jailer and Death and Taxes, so you actually want to draw extra cards.
I mean, it's also just not worth the slot. Even without the Monarch make it, like Palastero was like a one or two of. It's not. That's not the reason they don't play this.
Well, they print, then they print a Recruiter of the Guard, so now you can just always get your Palace Jailer anyways. No, it's still kind of weird to me that this, it's one of those cards seems like it should be played. I mean, each player can't draw more than one card each turn. It's a three power creature. Like, it's a Brainstorm format. I still don't understand how this card isn't good. They cast Brainstorm and you vial it in response. It's like Notion Thief. Only it costs two mana instead of four. This seems so playable to me. All right, we call it Temples, $4, but that's probably predicated on Standard.
Is there anything else in this email?
Yeah, we said to sell Kiora at 10.
There you go.
There you go. Yeah, we did fine. We said to sell Zenigat at 15. There you go. That's the thing. That was there were some good ones in there. Remember, everybody, I'm doing this. I'm preserving maximum transparency here, and I'm not pre-selecting these emails. I am opening up the folder and reading an email when we do these live. It's way more fun that way. So yeah, I mean, I had to dig through that one to find the good parts. But there you go. That was enjoyable. I love that segment.
For who?
For Ryan Foss. Alright, how about we do some picks of the week?
I hope he found his calling as, like, a scribe. The guy transcribed it? I hope he was listening to that in real time and just, like, furiously typing the entire, just, like, word for word.
Yeah. It's pretty, those are fun. I love that segment. And I, you are saving all the new ones, right, DJ? So we can come back to them in 3 years?
I've been deleting them every time we read them.
Well, you got to like strategically pick ones, preferably ones from not patrons to not read, and just throw them in the queue for 5 years from now.
I'll roll a die.
Okay.
We don't want unlucky people getting their emails read.
I agree.
That's true.
I agree.
That's true. When people apply to write for EDH Rec, I take half of their emails and delete them because I don't want unlucky people to write for me.
Or people who are stuck in the Soul Stone.
Oh, stuck I get that. That's a spoiler. Right?
Not really.
Yes. Yeah, it's a spoiler.
Come on, man. Come on.
Snape killed Dumbledore, dude. Sorry.
Whoa.
Pick of the week, pick of the week, pick of the week. Time for the pick of the week.
I think Song of the Dryads.
What is Song of the Dryads, Jason?
Well, you enchant a permanent and it becomes a colorless forest land. It's an enchantment. It goes on stuff.
Song of the Marijuana Enthusiasts.
Yeah, okay.
Trees. So yeah, you make their commander into a creature that doesn't go in the command zone.
Yeah, it is pretty good.
And actually, they tap it for a green mana. It's good. It's one of the best.
Bug is the best white card in commander.
It's a sweet cube card too. Song of the Dryads.
Yeah. So just all around, it's just does good stuff. So
Mark Rosewater also said it broke the color pie, so it is unlikely to see future.
Oh really?
Yeah.
I didn't know.
Mark Rosewater does not like Song of the Dryads or Chaos Warp.
He really didn't like.
Hornets? Nexus the Fate?
Well, I don't know.
Well, he really didn't like meeting me in person, so like Mark Rosewater doesn't like a lot of stuff.
Yeah. Hornet's Sting, I think it was, the one mana green instant that just dealt one damage to any target.
Yep.
He hated
it. Uniero Bee Sting for four mana dealt two damage.
Yeah. Alright, I'm interested what you guys think of this. It seems to me, looking at the data, that Crucible Worlds in Corset 2019 has bottomed out.
Yeah, like just 15? About. Here's the deal. There are no good cards in the set.
It was 17 to 18 for a couple weeks, and it's recently climbed to 1950, and the market price has almost converged with the median price, which, as we've talked about before on this cast, there can sometimes be some noise in that data, but when you start talking cheaper cards in TCG Direct and so on or whatever. But in this case, it seems to be that the cheaper copies of Crucible are drying up. The median is not moving yet, but the market price is, and that means they're both going to start moving. So I would say we're at the bottom on Crucible here.
Okay.
Which I would assume then, I'm not looking at the data for the other cards, but I would assume that this might be true for Scape Shift, or...
I still think Scape Shift's dead.
Okay. Might be true for that. It could, you know, that's... There are good cards in this set, though, for what it's worth, and this is something to keep in mind. Vivian Reed was in more decks than Nicol Bolas at the Pro Tour. So, yeah, I think it's
was it in one deck?
Well, no, it's like, there. It's not that there were zero people playing Bolas at the Pro Tour, it's that those decks didn't do particularly well. Meanwhile, Mono Green Sompi was like the second most played deck, maybe the third most played deck, and they had Vivian Reed's either main deck or sideboard. And
Vivian Reed is it didn't seem sexy, but it just seemed like a
just good.
Real just basic utilitarian, this is stuff green wants to do, sort of right. Planeswalker.
And obviously we'll see, basically at this point, anything you should be looking at, you're looking at rotation. The green deck doesn't lose much. On the other hand, maybe this this fog deck is just going to destroy it. Although the fog deck loses Haze of Pollen.
But we'll get a new fog. We always get a new fog.
Probably, but it also loses...
No, the fogs are on the standard reserve list.
Yeah. It also loses, like, the cycle lands and stuff. It's hard to... I think that's thing in a deck like that, all the cycling sort of adds up. You know, Haze of Pollen has cycling on it as well, you know. So it's... I think the consistency of the deck will be hurt quite a bit. So, but Mono Green Stompy, like, that deck's not as I don't want to use the word fragile or whatever, but, right, it doesn't... It just can get by on power level, not necessarily synergy. I'd have an eye on Vivian Reed, but yeah, we've also got Omniscience in the set that we'll see.
Let me pull it up. Am I putting Crucible in the spreadsheet or Vivian Reed?
Is your pick of the week all of M19, Ryan?
It's not. It is Crucible because I think this is the strongest of them. But it's the general check-in, right? We always forget to do this. We talk about pick a card up when it's at its bottom and this is going to happen, and then we forget about it like the rest of the Magic world, and then we miss the bottom by a little bit. In this case, I feel pretty confident we're actually at the bottom, you know, this week or last week of Crucible. So that's my pick.
Cool.
All right, who's next?
I'm next. I am...
How do we figure that out? Should we flip a coin?
Wait, I thought everyone else went.
Yeah, that's the joke, DJ. Okay.
DJ, go.
What is the most dog shit set released in the past 2 years?
Past 2 years?
Iconic Masters. Masters Standard 25.
Set. Oh. Standard set.
Rivals of Ixalan?
Yeah. Rivals for sure.
I don't know. I think it's our devastation, personally.
How can you say? In what sense?
Just in terms of, like, quality cards?
It has Scarab God.
Okay.
It has...
There's a lot of sets that have, like, one or two good cards.
It has the Eternalized mechanic. Come on.
Well, my pick is Torment to Hailfire, because Hour of Devastation is not a widely open set, and Torment to Hailfire is a card that I vastly underestimated during our set review. I'm pretty sure I call it awful. Punisher card, and Punisher cards are historically bad, like Browbeat and like Sword Point Diplomacy and like all those cards where your opponent gets to choose the best mode.
But choosing the best mode when you have a Yawgmoth or an Urborg and a Cabal Coffers doesn't really matter.
Always wins the game.
The mana per card ratio is very strong on Torment to Hailfire because every one mana you pump into it is theoretically 9 damage. So, Torment to Hailfire is, like, just the best black card released for EDH in the past forever.
I agree.
And it's really boring, but...
In a bad set. It's a good card in a bad set. Well, you know what happens to those.
Well, yeah, and I think your point about the set stands in the sense that most of the cards are tied to standard. The ones that...
Yeah, I agree, yeah. Like, it's...
Razaketh, Nicol Bolas, I guess, you know, like, Locust God... Maybe are sort of more commander ishings.
Razaketh hit $7. Holy shit.
Yeah. By the way, Romanek Excavator is also in this set. Nimble Obstructionist is starting to see some modern play.
Scavenger Grounds.
Yes. I put Scavenger Grounds in my most recent commander deck. I think it's a thing. I mean, this set seems to have some hits, but DJ's right that right now the money is focused in the the standard cards.
And Torment of Hellfire is the most expensive rare in the set, and it's going to be $10 in like a year.
Yeah,
assuming it doesn't get reprinted in some random garbage, but like it's just the best.
Do they do reprints, or do they only reprint 50-cent rares that are going to turn into 10-cent rares?
Well, yeah, I don't know. I'm with DJ though.
Not going to touch that one, are you, Corbin?
A lot of my picks, ever since I have sort of become a actual store, I guess is the best way to put it.
Sure.
A lot of my picks of the week are just predicated on like which is the card that I cannot keep in stock, regardless of how many times I buy it,
right,
and what are the cards that sell out quickest. And Torment of Hailfire is just a card that 10 people ask me about, and then I have to say no to like 7 of them.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. So, speaking of Commander, DJ, you'll appreciate this. I played Commander with a member of the Rules Committee last week. We had a brief discussion about, you know, cards and ban lists and so on. And
Tell me more.
I put in an official request to ban Cyclonic Rift.
Oh, I thought you were going to troll me and just say, like, I don't know.
Ban Gaunti.
Listen, yeah. I put in an official request to ban Cyclonic Rift. This person replied, that's probably not happening. It's basically Blue Sweeper. So I did.
Wow. Can they say stuff like that?
I mean, they're
probably not happening. Jeez.
They're allowed to have opinions. I mean, it's a rules. They're people. They're human beings.
It's a good thing Cyclonic Rift is Blue's only sweeper and they don't have Evacuation or Rivers Rebuke or.
Well, look, regardless, I mean, these things, Evacuation is only creature, blah, blah, blah. I'm not saying that the point is invalid. What I am saying is that I killed him with it the next turn. I did my part.
Were you just listening to him with the card in your hand?
Oh, like, yeah. Uh-huh. Oh,
uh-huh.
Yeah.
What do you think of Rift? It's probably fine. Motherfucker!
It was very fun games. I had a lot of fun Commander at the Pro Tour. But yeah, it was pretty good. Like I said, their point is not invalid. It is a card that Blue has that.
Sway of the Stars is Blue's only sweeper.
It's just it was funny. I then did what you're supposed to do and killed him with it the next turn. But like it was like a two turn. Maybe I say the next. You know, it was like not immediate. But it was within the next 3 minutes or turn cycle or whatever. So,
yeah, I spent 7 mana. This game is mine.
It was beautiful. I was gonna probably win the game anyways, but it was the nail in the coffin. So who knows? Here's hoping. All right. Anything else you guys want to say this week?
This was a really bad episode, and we're sorry.
What?
This episode was fine.
This was episode 300.
This was episode 299.3.
Is it 0.3 or 0.5?
I don't even know. I guess it's like 0.4.
We're going to really try hard to do episode 300 next week. Let's put it that way.
Yep. Okay, everybody. Brainstorm Brewery, thank you for listening. We will see you next week on an episode that may or may not be 300.
Yeah, the fact that you think that is why this was a bad episode.